Okay, good evening, everybody. Let's begin. When we open up our Maaser, so whether it's Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, it's clear, and we can experience this every single year, that the authors of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening created a corpus of prayer and a poetry that's marked by deep meaning and timeless resonance. Now, accompanying the tefillos and underscoring the tefillos are many metaphors for the dialogue between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they're designed to, on the one hand, arouse Hashem's mercy, but maybe moreover, to instill within us the recognition of our place and the relationship that frames that dialogue. And most familiar, of course, we have the imagery of the servant before the master, the sheep under the watch of a shepherd, and of course, a child beseeching his father, a king, Avinu Malkeinu. But there's another imagery, which I believe gets much less attention, despite its ubiquity, especially because it appears in the context of Slichos, and that's the pauper, the begging poor man at the door of a benefactor. Every day when we recite Slichos, beginning next Motzei Shabbos, it's not so far away, straight through Yom Kippur, this imagery is what sets the tone at the start and once again at the end of the introductory paragraph of Slichos. If you look at source number one, some of those highlighted points you'll see in bold, Kimincha Pshuta al Kaval Shavim, Lobachesiv, Lobamaisim, Banal Panecha, Kedalim Ucharoshim Dafakim Glosecha. We don't have any merit in our own right, but rather we're knocking on your door like poor, poverty stricken people. Glosecha Dafakim Racham Lachan, O merciful one, we're knocking at your door. Don't send us away empty handed. And then skipping a little bit later, Re'ei Amidosenu Dalim Derekim. We're here for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for your sake. See that essentially what we are, our state, it's like the needy and the deprived. Poor people. We're poor people begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a beggar at the door of a balabayas. Kedalim Chorashim Defachim Glasech. So what is it about this imagery? Any imagery we use, any imagery that's provided for us in our Siddur, in our Machzor, is meant to paint a picture, like we said, that will put us in the proper mindset for our tefillos. But what new dimension does this one convey? How do I think differently about what I'm doing and about my relationship with Hashem with this picture in my head? There's so many metaphors, but let's try to analyze together how our Yomim Noraim experience is enhanced when we depict ourselves in our prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this fashion, the Ani and the Usher, the poor man knocking at the door of the rich man. So if you will, I'd like to try to explore together two different kivunim, two different directions that we can go with practical applications that emerge from this muscle of the Ani and the Usher, and try to have a little takeaway for us, not only to frame our thinking, but even our behavior in the coming weeks. Number one, to go any further, if we're describing the poor man and he's asking for tzedakah, so the best place to start would be thinking about our own responsibility about what happens when a poor person comes to us for tzedakah. And the best place to go for that is to open up the Chumash and get a little picture of the mitzvah of tzedakah as it's described in the Torah, which you'll find in source number two, in Parashas Re'eh, Perek Tezvah, from the beginning. Ki yivacha evyon me'achad achecha, be'achad she'arecha, be'artzecha, be'artzecha she'er shem al-kecha nosin lach. When there will be a poor person from amongst your brothers in your city, in Klal Yisrael, asher Hashem Elokecha nosin lach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you, the land of Averet Yisrael, lo sa'amik tes levavcha, do not have a stubborn heart. Lo sikpo tes yorcha me'achicha ha'evyon. Listen to this phrase. Don't close up your hand, to retract your hand, me'achicha ha'evyon, from your brother, the poor person. The pasuk continues, pasuches, ki pasach tiftach es yorcha lo. You have to open up your hand instead, and provide for him, as the pasuk concludes, dei machzoro asher yachzor lo. Dei machzoro, whatever he lacks. What does it mean, whatever he lacks? The Gemara Ksubas tells us, daf sam zayin amabez, the dei machzoro means you have to give him anything he's missing, meaning that tzedakah must suffice beyond his basic needs. If he was a rich man who suddenly lost his fortune and he can no longer afford, as the example in the Gemara, the same entourage to travel with him, we need to provide that for him. The great Hillel himself ran before such an ani, with the poor man riding a horse that Hillel arranged for him. We learn tzedakah is not merely about feeding the poor. It's also meant to preserve the human dignity as well. And that's how we come to this understanding, dei machzoro, that's the practical application. Now the Vilna Gaon offers a beautiful remez to show how this this law, this special detail about tzedakah emerges from the pasuk itself. Remember the terminology the Torah uses. Why does the Torah emphasize twice the hand in giving tzedakah? Well, sik potz yadcha, don't close your hand. And again, immediately afterwards, pasach tiftach es yadcha lo. You shall surely open up your hand. What's the hand? The answer is that term is there repeatedly to reveal this very point, de machzero. Imagine for a moment, or try it yourself. When you close your hand, you see a fist. You look at my fist from that from your perspective, all the fingers in a line look like they could really be the exact same size. One person, likewise, can be asked for tzedakah by many beggars. And he or she can throw the same quarter, the same dollar bill at each one of them, as if they're all the same person asking for the same thing. But that's not the way you give tzedakah, by assuming that everyone who approaches you is exactly the same with the same type of needs. No, you have to open up that hand, that fist that's closed, open it up. And what you'll discover, those fingers that look identical are really a number of fingers of different sizes. Not every ani is alike. On the contrary, each one's needs are unique because each one has a different story, different background, experiences, hopes, dreams, challenges that make that ani who he or she may be. And that's how we give tzedakah. That's how we give tzedakah. We can't just group everyone in need together as one without appreciating each individual situations. And that's not how we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at us either. And he doesn't. We emphasize in Ashrei, the Pasuk, sharing a similar terminology, Poseach es yodecha u'masbil chol chai ratzon. That Pasuk must be said with Kavana. The Shulchan Aruch writes, if one does not have an understanding of what it means when he or she recites the Pasuk, he has to go back and say it again and continue from there as he and finish Ashrei. Poseach es yodecha, the same idea, open your hand, umasbil chochai rotzon, and give every living being, every creature, rotzon. Ibn Ezra writes, it means each creature what he or she needs, ma sheyaspik lehem. Hashem provides in a way that addresses each person differently, individually, specifically, and particularly, with this open hand, much like the imagery that the Vilna Gaon provided. The same is true for our approach to Hashem in tshuva, and that's why we find this metaphor in Slichos. Think about it for a moment. What does it mean to ask Hashem for mercy during the Yom Narayim or any time? If we did something wrong, and there's a judgment, it's Yom HaDin, we're guilty, so what else is there to do? Isn't that Tzachar V'Onesh? Isn't that a tenet of Jewish belief that there's consequences? You do a mitzvah, you get tzachar. You do an aveir, there's a punishment. So what is rachamim? What's the place of it? The answer is that we can always ask God, despite what we've done, to be dan l'kaf zchus, to give us the benefit of the doubt. We too, each of us, we have a story. We each have a different story. Obstacles that maybe we've overcome to get to this point, maybe other obstacles that we have yet to overcome, unique circumstances that life has dealt us, and many more that we'll face in the future and may make it difficult to succeed in the future. But we do try. We have bad days sometimes, but we try. We say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, have rachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognize that we want to grow higher. We also don't live these cookie cutter lives. Look at us and our individual challenges and please understand exactly what we tell ourselves before we get to the ani. We're essentially saying that to Hashem. Because when we're giving to the ani, we're the usher, we're the baal bayis, we're inside the door. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in this metaphor, is inside the door that we're knocking on. Every Monday and Thursday, if you take a look at number 4, we express the same idea in Tachanun. HaPoseach Yad B'tshuva L'kabo Poshim Mechatan. Why is there this emphasis on Hashem opening up his hand, poseach yad b'tshuva, to receive the tshuva, even of those who did averos. Again, the metaphor appears. Your hand is outstretched. All 5 fingers are extended in order to receive us, because it must be. It must be like that. For Hashem to extend his mercy towards us and give us the benefit of the doubt that we depend on, by looking at each one of us and understanding our unique circumstances and challenges. We ask for this every time we bench. Towards the end of benching, b'morom yilamdu aleihem ve'aleinu zuchos. What do those words mean? B'morom, up in Shemayim. Yilamdu aleihem, they should be malamed zchus. They should find that perspective on us, our actions, our behavior, and find some way to look at it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through that merciful lens that takes into account what I'm going through, difficulties, challenges, and that everyone's different. This is why we need the imagery of a poor man asking for tzedakah, because the mitzvah of tzedakah is the paradigmatic illustration of our plea for Rachmei Shemayim. And maybe that's why it appears in so many other contexts in the Yom Narayim. In the piyut that we say in Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, B'chol Ma'aminim, one of the lines is Shehu Poseach Yad, Poseach Yado, Hanosen Yad L'Rishon Uposhen. When we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu receiving those who perform tshuva properly, it's with an open hand. That's not just an attitude in the classic sense as we might understand it, but perhaps it taps into the Vilna Gaon's understanding as well. A number of years ago, I heard an observation, simple observation, from Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, Shlita, in the stanzas of Eishes Chayil, we find one pasuk, Kapa Parsa La'ani. Kapa her palm, Parsa La'ani is outstretched to the poor man. Ask Rabbi Neuberger, is that the right way to describe it? Usually we envision the opposite. The ani is the one with the outstretched palm, and the benefactor is putting the money, the donation, into the poor person's hand. That's outstretched. According to the Vilna Gaon, it's beautiful. No, the praise for the Eishes Chayil, for the woman who's such a role model for all of us, is her kaf, kapa parsa la'ani. Before she gives, she opens up the hand to appreciate the needs of the individual on it. There's a famous story of the Beis Halevi. Someone came to him and asked right before Pesach a shayla, and he walked out of the house a few minutes later with a large sum of money. And the members of the family, the Beis Halevi, they asked him, why did you give so much money to that individual? Other people have come to ask for money, and you didn't give anything near that sum. And he said, because the question he asked me was, can you use milk for the four cups of the Seder? So I realized he doesn't just lack wine. He must be eating a milchic meal, because if he's going to be drinking milk for the Seder, he needs a lot more money. Again, the analysis to look carefully, what does this person need? That's the paradigm of tzedakah, and that's the paradigm for tshuva that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at us through that lens. Chazal echo this principle and bring it into the most practical terms in the Gemara and Shabbos. If we take the message that we're trying to impart right now and trying to internalize, Pasach Tiftach, when we deal with others and judge them favorably, Hashem promises He'll do the same for us in our moment of judgment. In other words, the suggestion here is that the metaphor of the relationship with Hashem, the Aron and the Usher, simultaneously serves as a roadmap for our encounters with other people. Sometimes it's the little things. Someone answers with a sarcastic remark that rubs me the wrong way. Okay, you know, there are days when I don't get enough sleep and I could be a little grumpy too. I need to remember to give that person a break, because I would want that as well. I'd want that same break on my bad day. I saw an anti-Lashon Hara bumper sticker recently. To paraphrase it, it said, don't judge so quickly, because any person you know has so much going on in his or her life about which you have absolutely no idea. We all have baggage, we have history, things that contribute to the broad picture of who we are. We're different, we're unique, and what may be obvious or easy for one person, for another person, that expectation cannot be generalized. Hashem knows our behind-the-scenes story, and we count on Him to have that perspective. And if we activate it by treating others like that, Hashem promises to give us that response of Kedalu Mechurashim Dafakim Glasech, we're knocking at His door, and His Yemin will be Pasuach, and He will have an outstretched hand and take us in the way that we need in order to be down the kaskos. So that's point number one. Rav Gevels tells us, Dan is kol ha'adam l'kaskos. It doesn't say judge every person. It says Dan is kol ha'adam. Judge the entire person. That's the benefit of the doubt that we're supposed to actualize. So first practical takeaway is, in these days leading up to the Yom Narayim, a key behavior and an attitude to work on, to improve, to ensure the right favorable response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is try to see other people in that same light as the Ani and the Usher begging at the door, the individualized approach and perspective that the Vilna Gaon tells us is inherent in the words that the Torah uses to give to give us the mitzvah of tzedakah. If we present ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that, we need to also look at others in the same way. That's number one. There's another dimension which we can categorize more as being Adam L'Makom, that will draw from the imagery of the Ani and the Asher and paint a picture in our consciousness with a different practical application. There's a story told of a poor man who made his way to the Rothschild. There are different versions of the story. I'll share with you one that I heard most recently. There's an individual who's poor, and he lived in a small village out of town, and he heard about the great wealthy Rothschild who was very generous in giving to the poor. So he was ready to make a trek to the city to ask him for some funds. But the poor man barely had enough to make it there. His provisions pretty quickly ran out on the way. His shoes were all worn and torn, and he was literally about to faint by the time he made it to the door. And he knocked on the door, and the attendant, the butler, opened up and was about to ask him what his business was. He was literally flat on the doorstep, fainted and exhausted and unconscious. A little while later, he was brought back to life, so to speak, and he had his audience with Rothschild, and he was given a very large check for tzedakah to take home, and he was very satisfied. When he came back to the village, a friend of his, also a poor man, heard about this great deal. He said, well, if that's the case, if that's where the money's at, I'm going to go and knock on the same door and hopefully earn myself a similar donation. But he was in a little bit of a better shape. And once he got to the city, he was feeling okay. He didn't rush to Rothschild. He said, once I'm here already, I might as well take advantage of locals. Knocked on this door, knocked on that door. And he had amassed a pretty significant sum before he even made it to Rothschild. Finally got to Rothschild, made his introduction, explained why he had come. And when it was all over, he walked away with an $18 check. And he said to Mr. Rothschild, forgive me, I appreciate your generosity, but you're world famous for your generosity. And my friend was just here last week, and you gave him a lot more than an $18 check. What's the difference? And he said to this man, Rothschild said, it's very simple. When your friend came here and presented his case after being brought back to consciousness, after literally plotting on my doorstep, he came to me completely dependent on me. He knew that I'm the only person who could help. That was the approach with which he asked, and I realized that that's where he was coming from. He was finished. He had nothing left. You, on the other hand, you clearly aren't so dependent on me because you have so many other friends who are helping you out. If you come to me and you're not really in need of me, so then I will respond in kind. It's not the same. An Ani knows that everything he has is entirely from his benefactor. He knows that his bank account is empty, and he's dependent on those who provide for him. It's a very humbling thought for an Ani, of course, which is why the highest levels of tzedakah mandate that we obscure the identities of the Ani and the Usher from each other, because we don't want any discomfort to ensue. But so much for the human response. Believe it or not, this is also a key attitude in our Avodas Hashem as well. A sense of complete dependency that when we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, it's with a knowledge that he is the one and only source that can provide for us, literally everything. And of course, that's what this time of year, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's what we're doing. If not this time of year, when is the opportunity to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? With an understanding that this is, so to speak, crunch time. This is do or die. It's now that I have the chance to ask from the one and only who can provide that. Just an interesting halachic application that brings us to the fore is that normally the halacha mandates that on Shabbos, we don't make any personal requests. We don't daven for our personal needs. Even in the Mishnah Berach, for a chola, we add Shabbos himilizor kufru krova level. This is not really the time to cry out, and almost like a nish Shabbos garet. However, what happens when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos? Should we, like it will this year, should we not ask for all the things that we need? Chazon Ish said, no, this year we must, even though it's Shabbos, because there's an exception to the rule. When we say that you cannot ask for personal needs on Shabbos, the exception is when it's do or die. This is the only time. Along those lines, Chaim Kanievsky explained, that's why women daven have a special power of tefillah when they light the Shabbos candles? It's Shabbos, they're not supposed to be asking for personal matters. The answer is, because of the special skula of tefillahs being answered in conjunction with lighting the Hanukkah candles, it's now or never. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are also now or never. This time of year is now or never. There's a sense of urgency, and there's a sense of dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not, it describes our mode of how we ask Hashem. Take a look quickly on the second side of your Mar Makomos. Number 9, Amar Rav Yitzchak Kol Shana Sherosha B'Tchilasa Misasheres B'Sofa. The Pasuk tells us, Meireishis Hashana Ad Achrisham. Hashem looks with careful attention from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Meireishis Hashana, like Rosh, Reish Aleph Shin, is spelled without an Aleph. So it appears as Meireishis Hashana. A Rosh is a poor person, like we began. Kedalim Churashim Dofakim Lasecha. In implying, the Gemara tells us, if a year begins with poverty, then it will be rich at the end. What does it mean, poverty? Rashi and Tosfos give similar explanations on the spot. If Klal Yisrael approach Hashem, osin atzman roshin, we act and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a recognition of that poverty, so to speak, metaphorical poverty, of that story with the Rothschilds, to sense that I don't have any power on my own. There is no other way that I can get what it is that I need other than depending on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for it and asking Hashem to provide it. So it would seem that that's at the core of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is transformed to the day of Malchus. We say, Melech HaKol HaAretz Mekadosh Yisrael Vazman. We add that to the bracha of Kedushas Hayom because it's the very essence of Rosh Hashanah. And on a practical level, that recognition of Malchus Shamayim, Malchus, begins with an appreciation of what it means to have a king, a government. The American government, as we know from the Constitution, has eminent domain. The notion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also having eminent domain is the basis for the principle of Dina D'Malchus Adina. We don't have time for it now, but the Gaonim tell us that the reason we adhere, we listen, and we respect our local monarchies or governments, democracies, whatever they happen to be, is because they own the land, and therefore we need to respect those who control the land we reside upon. Same thing is true about everything in our world. Hashem owns everything. My house belongs to Hashem. My car belongs to Hashem. The street, the city, the world, my intellect belongs to Hashem. My body belongs to Hashem. And that is the point we drive home also with a resounding refrain that we encounter every day during Slichos, Haneshama Lach, V'Haguf Shalach, Chusa Al Melach. It's all yours. It's all yours. The Melach is the source of everything. Just as the poor person knocks at the door of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the rich person with the recognition that if I don't receive what I need from him, I have nowhere to go. I'm finished. I'm stuck. I'm done. Approaching the Melech, who is the source of everything, who owns everything, who can provide everything, is the attitude of, as the Gemara says, year beginning with Roshos, imagining ourselves as the poor person knocking at the door of the rich man. There are many versions of this. Most recently, I saw this in the name of Rav Huttner. Tefillah, the purpose of tefillah is not to remind Hashem of my suffering or of my needs or wants or the things that I require. On the contrary, tefillah, my suffering, the purpose of my suffering is to remind me that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is not to remind Hashem that I need something. The fact that I need something is to remind me to bring it to Kadosh Baruch Hu through tefillah. The idea being, again, that dependency. That is what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, that we shouldn't feel entitled to the brachos that we have or the ones that we hope for, because if he's the source of everything, the chesed, it's a chesed, whatever we get from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when we turn to him with that feeling, we'll be more likely to have our tefillos accepted and the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can then be galvanized. HaNeshama Lach V'Haguf Shalach. It's all yours, Hashem. We don't take it for granted. Even David HaMelech, the king, who has that ownership, that bialus, that wealth, he says, Penei Elai V'Chaneni Ki Yochid V'Ani Ani. I'm really poor, because whatever I have is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let me close with a remez of sorts to help reinforce this second notion in a practical way. The first practical lesson is Bein Adam L'Chavero, to see the poor and the rich men as they encounter each other, Kedal M'Chorosh M'Dapachnu L'Secha, and how that impacts on my attitude towards others. Now, our practical takeaway is the way in which I beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu with an understanding. I look around me, the blessings I have, I'm not entitled to them. They're a chesed from Hashem. I'm going to try to illustrate it as follows. Every yontif has a special place in our hearts for different reasons. And not the least of which is, of course, the fact that every yontif has its own foods too. I think it was just yesterday. My son, almost 10 years old, very sweetly asked me yesterday, when is Hanukkah? So I said, why do you want to know? It's still a few months away. He said, well, I missed the latkes and the applesauce and the candles. So I told him, I can't help you with the candles, but if you'd like, we can make some latkes for dinner. He said, no, it just tastes different on Hanukkah. It's very true. So on Rosh Hashanah, we don't have latkes. We dip an apple nani. And of course, we accompany that with the Yiratzon, Shetechadish Aleinu, Shana, Tova, Umesuka. Kodesh Baruch Hu should renew us with a life in the upcoming year that is Tova Umesuka. Did you ever think what that means? Why Tova Umesuka? If it's about the apple and the honey and the simen that provides, okay, so Ashana Mesuka would be enough, or Ashana Tova would also be enough. Why is it Tova Umesuka? So the story is told. Reb Mendel Weiss was once asked the following question. Why is it that on Pesach night, we dip twice, and all of a sudden we have kashas, and we have to ask four questions. And on that list is, why are we dipping twice? Rosh Hashanah, we also dip twice. Rosh Hashanah, we dip the apple in the honey, and many, many people have a minhag also to dip the challah in the honey. So how come we don't have a manish tana? So he answered very sharply, on Pesach, we dip twice, it's true, in salt water, in something bitter we use. On Pesach, it's a challah in the honey, it's the apple in the honey. When things are bitter, when things aren't right, so then we have kashas. Then we want to know why me. When everything's beautiful and delicious and sweet, Shana Tova Mesuka, so no one asks any kashas. No one asks any kashas. So it's a cute word. It's something you can share at the table. But the message is, Shana Tova Mesuka is not just to have the good, but to be able to taste the sweetness, to fully appreciate it, that's another darga, that's another level. Hashem can bless you with the things you ask for, but the sweetness comes when we realize it's a bracha, when we realize that it's more than what we're entitled to. Hashem is the one and only benefactor, the greatest benefactor, the only true benefactor. So everything around me, I appreciate through a different lens, and I can even ask, why me about the good things? Why is this happening to me? And fully appreciate the sweetness of that bracha, and fully appreciate the sweetness of the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that, we can express the knowledge and feeling of Haneshama Lach V'Haguf Shalach. With that understanding, we can truly continue to the next words, Chusa Al Malach. Please Hashem, in the coming year, to deal compassionately with your people. So the second takeaway, the Ani and the Ashir, is realization, I'm knocking at the door, and this is the only place that I can turn. And Hashem says, when you have that attitude, I'm here for you, I've got you covered. And when we look around at what we have been given, and not only see that it's good, but that it's sweet, that we've been given that special chesed that maybe we don't even deserve, but it's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, next year, happy to provide it again. So with those two attitudes, number one, how we look at other people, even when they frustrate us, even when they give us problems, to be able to look at it with a little bit of downkafskos, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge us in the same way, and also to look at what we have and our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, similarly as the poor person knock on the door, should be zocha to have all of our tefillos answered, should be zocha to tshuva shlema during these coming weeks, and Mirat Hashem, I hope you join us in next Wednesday, Mirat Hashem, as well, as we'll look at other parts of tefillah and some practical takeaways to help us experience the tefillos in a more profound way. Be'ezras Hashem, have a wonderful night.